That was awesome. Thank you, Anya, so much for that song. Last week, we spent time looking at who Jesus is. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about what Jesus does. And as we read this passage, it's going to ask us to do some things as well, but I once heard it said Jesus was raised on a cross so that he could raise us up into heaven. And this passage has a lot of that idea in mind. So I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter 3 if you want to follow along. But before I begin this passage, let's ask God's blessing. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there's no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want you to imagine that your life is much like a glider airplane. If you know anything about glider airplanes, you can crawl into the small cockpit and get ready for flight. But the truth is, you're never going to leave ground unless you're connected to an airplane that has an engine. Because you see, as a glider, you have no engine. And the gravitational pull from the earth is so strong, there's no way you can break that force and get high into the heavens unless there is a stronger plane with a great engine that can carry you both high above. But if you are connected to a plane that can carry you up into the clouds, then when that plane disengages, you find you can do what you were made to do. You can turn and bank and soar and just view the world that is there beneath your wings. Our passage is a lot like that this morning, and that in Colossians it's letting us know we need a power that can lift us up. And that's what it's been pointing to. We can fly, we can glide, but we need that power source, that big plane that can get us off the ground and enable us to break free from that force of the earth's gravity so that we are able to do the very thing that God designed and planned for us to do. According to Colossians 3 in verse 1, it speaks of being raised with Christ and seeking things above. And we're pointed to the one who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And let me tell you, that was a powerful, powerful raising. I mean, how many people do you know that have been raised from the dead and are walking around today? You see, no earthly power that we can think of, no earthly power that we can invent can raise someone from the dead. Raising somebody from the dead is only something God can do. And God has done that. And that's who we're pointed to this morning. For God was able to lift a very dead Jesus out of a grave in order to lift the world up in hope. And as Christ is raised from the grave, he comes to us and he lifts us up so that we can get a whole new view, a brand new perspective on the world that we now live in and behold. The same power from God will raise us up to a higher level of living. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, and just as an airplane with a powerful engine can carry a glider high into the sky, so it can begin soaring high above, like the plane is designed to do. God promises to use God's powerful love to make our lives soar. Soar, as Michael pointed when we did the children's sermon, into the heavens. We can have the wind of heaven beneath our wings, and we can experience the excitement that comes from God's power making our lives more lovely and appearing in the image of God to which they were created. And that's always a good thing. Raised with Christ, we can soar above the lower things of this world and enjoy a heavenly perspective. And the view, I tell you, is much different when we're flying high opposed to when we're down low on the ground. It's interesting, Marshall and I were just talking before the worship service about climbing what they call in Colorado 14ers and 15ers. That refers to mountain peaks that are 14,000 feet or above. And we have had the privilege of doing that. When you get 14,000 feet or above, you can see a lot. And it's breathtaking. I wonder how many of you, just on a commercial airline flight, have chosen to sit next to the window so that you can look out and see the world below, because it's a view that we don't always get, but it's a view that when you get to take it in, it can take your breath away because it's so amazing as you see things perched high from above. But using my glider metaphor, we need to realize that if we are going to go up in the sky in a glider and we show up to the runway with a whole bunch of luggage, we're really not acting too wisely. Because imagine somebody wanting to go fly on a glider and they show up with six suitcases that weigh over 200 pounds. I mean, how long do you think they're going to stay in the air? You wouldn't consider that person to be all that wise. The glider can't just stay soaring high above because it's going to be carrying too heavy a load. The reference to various sins that we heard in Colossians in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put it to death. Wow. You could say maybe nail it to a cross, because see, that can cause you to come back down. And so there's the request to rid those practices from our lives, because you see, God doesn't want us carrying a lot of baggage, especially baggage that'll bring us down. It's hard to maintain a heavenly perspective if the weight of your baggage is pulling you back below. There is so often something that we need to unload that was really, we discover, ever needed. There are things that we carry that really we discover aren't necessary. There's things that we learn, gosh, I never even should have thought of bringing this up on my glider, because all it does is it brings me down. We realize there are things that just aren't good for the journey. It is critical, and it's important advice, to dump that weight that will sooner or later plunge us back down, rather than assist us in soaring high above, as we were made by God to do, where we can live on that higher plane of life called faith. That's why we so often confess our sins here and worship publicly together. We realize the opportunity to soar on the high plane of life and to begin to live as God designed and intended. And so together we confess our sins and we ask God's help in dumping all this baggage. I don't know if you've flown lately, but airlines today have a lot of guidelines. Christianity has guidelines. I think the airlines, though, beat us. They have more. But like those TSA agents who scan and weigh our luggage to make sure that it's appropriate for flight, Christ our captain tells us to travel light in respect to those things the world believes is so attractive, important, or necessary, when in fact there are things that could just weigh us down. And again, if we don't unload this stuff, and we all have a lot of stuff, God is too polite to force us to fly. And God knows that we're going to stay anchored to the runway if changes aren't made. We just really won't be able to get up off the ground. So Colossians greets us with, since you have been raised with Christ. And that word, since, you have been raised with Christ, that's a big word. It tells us, since what is to follow is not hypothetical, it's a realized reality. Since you have been raised, Paul goes on to say, well, then start living like it. Verse 2, set your hearts and minds on things above, not on earthly things. Please understand this on the setting your minds above. God doesn't want us to be so heavenly minded that we become of no earthly good. But likewise, we aren't to become like a monastic group who withdraws completely from the venue of everyday life and refuse to have anything to do with the world around us. And certainly we aren't to fence ourselves in, like, I don't know if you remember that cultic Mormon group that was out in El Dorado, Texas a few years ago, where they just shut out the outside world. No, we're to engage life, but we do so from our heavenly perspective, set in flight by Jesus Christ, who has actually raised us with Him. We are to do our work and live our life in the world in such a way that there will be a difference. And one of those differences is our focus. Being those who are raised, since we've been raised, we're encouraged to keep our hearts and our minds focused above, high in heaven, on eternal things, on things that will last. We will view everything against the background of eternity and no longer live as if this world is all that matters. With new perspective, we invest ourselves in things that last rather than so tiringly continue to work for all that which ends up fading. The view is different when we're focused above. With the old life now dead and the new life centered in Jesus, we will set about our days with the godly perspective of giving instead of getting, of being generous givers rather than greedy takers, with serving above ruling, with forgiving above avenging, with loving above ignoring, treasuring our families more than fame and people more than power. You see, our standards then will often not be of this world, for we're soaring above as if we're on wings of eagles, which has brought us to a whole new point of view and perspective. I don't know if you've heard of the Danish philosopher and theologian Søren Kierkegaard, but he grew up in the countryside and he was surrounded by farms that raised a lot of animals. A lot of them had geese. And so he often used geese to illustrate some of his philosophical and theological points. And among his papers, he wrote a story titled Tame Geese, in which he asks us to imagine that these geese could talk and think and do the very same kinds of things that people do. These geese went to church every week, and they were inspired by a powerful, motivating sermon by the high goose. The sermon always went the same. The high goose would tell the assembled geese of their high destiny and about what a high goal the Creator had appointed geese, for He had given them wings. And as he said all this, the geese would honk and squawk with their approval. These geese curtsied and the ganders bowed their heads in honor of the great words. You see, with their wings, the high goose told them, they could fly anywhere they wanted to around the world. And they were so pleased to hear this. And each week after church, as they dispersed, the geese would waddle home. Silly goose. Change is hard. Ask someone that's trying to quit smoking. But since you've been raised, since that is an actual reality and not some hypothetical idea, since you've been raised by the one who arose from the grave to live the eternal life and has come to share eternal things with you, maybe, just maybe, since you have been raised, since it is a God who's granted this reality and offered it freely in Jesus Christ, since you've been raised, then maybe you can fly too. Amen. Because God has come and has been the wind beneath our wings and begun to reveal Himself in such a way that we gain a new perspective, let's respond by saying what we believe. And today we have words from the Confession of 1967 there in your bulletin. Let us stand and together profess our faith using these words. In Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. Jesus Christ is God with man. He is the eternal Son of the Father, who became man and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. He is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue and complete His mission. The work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the foundation of all confessional statements about God, humanity in the world. Therefore, the church calls people to be reconciled to God and to one another. You may be seated. Let us go to God with our prayers. God, in Genesis, when there was nothing but darkness or chaos, your Spirit hovered, ready to bring light to that dark situation. Declared, "Let there be," and there was. We know that in Ezekiel, the wind blew on a valley of dry bones, and what seemed to have come to an end was brought back to new life as all those bones joined together and once again stood as your people to live in the world today. And we come to you now because we need that breath, that wind, your Spirit to blow upon us, to order our living, to give life to our day-to-day challenges. And to empower us to walk anew. For even in our own midst, there's people facing cancer. There's people recovering from knee surgeries. There's folks that need mending either in their body or in their spirit. And the truest way to find our health is to turn to you. And so by faith, we indeed do that now. We ask that your redemption and your power would be unleashed, that we would see the miracles of healing, that we would be able to praise your name as people arise once again. But as we witness your might and as we encounter your power, let us not keep it to ourselves. But because we are living in your love, which lasts forever, help us to be those who go forth and share it with the world so that the ministry of Jesus Christ that we just profess does indeed continue in the world today, because this world in which we live in does often bring us down. So we need you, but we're glad we do, because you are our Savior and our Redeemer, our Creator, and our Recreator. Make us your people, your church, who declare and praise your glory every single day. Blow upon our dusty lives as we come to you now, praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We're going to go out with our last request hymn. And Sarah, you were so fast, I got to choose you. So what do you got for us? 398. Let's stand. Let's prepare to go out as we sing. Susan, is that okay? 398? There's a sweet, sweet spirit. Okay, we can do it. Hymn 398. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, both now and forever. Amen.